just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship. Hooters has sponsored 55 episodes for Season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This week-ending episode number 20. I will continue to give you a new episode every weekday until Labor Day weekend. So I'm giving you basically, in my mind, 25 episodes of original content, in all likelihood before a significant percentage of you do your fantasy drafts, because I'm going to do my fantasy drafts basically bookending the Labor Day weekend, the foundation on one part of that weekend, and the Federation on the other part of Labor Day weekend, trying to take as much of the guesswork out of depth charts and cuts and potential injuries out of it, so that's not a factor once you actually make your pick. So how you doing? Episode 20, Season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. For the bulk of this week, I have talked both positively and negatively about merits of various fantasy quarterbacks. I want to evolve it now because I want to spend, let's see, we've got 6 episodes, including this one, before the Labor Day weekend when I think most of you will be doing your fantasy drafting. So let me devote the next 3 podcasts, including this one, to running backs, and then the next 3 after that to the top pass catchers. So let's evolve. If you missed anything on quarterbacks, just go back to the previous 4 episodes of this podcast, episodes 16, 17, 18, and 19, for talk about various quarterbacks. On my board that holds from the end of last year, and I can look at it and make my own mental adjustments, but this is hard data from the end of last year, and that's what I use going into the next year. It doesn't mean that because a player is ranked higher, I'm automatically going to consider that player ranked higher. I factor in on the fly if the players change teams, the player's age, changes in the coaching staff, changes in their role, other players on their team. But it's hard numbers. It's production from the previous year. So let me do top 20 running backs in my 21st century standard scoring settings from the completion of the 2021 fantasy seasons in my leagues. In order, Taylor, Eckler, Mixon, Harris, that's Najee, Connor, then Zeke, Chubb, Fournette, Patterson, Harris, that's Harris, New England. Then Jones, Henry, Kamara, Gibson, Cook. Then Williams, Jacobs, Gordon, Montgomery, Dillon. So there are the top 20 in terms of overall point production in my scoring settings from last year. So let's take this podcast. You know, we devoted earlier this week on Monday, we basically devoted an entire podcast to Josh Allen. I'm not going to devote this entire podcast to Jonathan Taylor. There's no bias here, but Jonathan Taylor is pretty simple at this point. And right or wrong, he's going number one in 80% minimum of your fantasy drafts. I'd say 4 of every 5 fantasy drafts minimum, the person selecting first will select Jonathan Taylor. I can't argue it. I see the merits of it. if I end up with the number one pick in either of my drafts and we do our draw, we can also talk about this. We do our draw live since we do live in-person drafting. So the order is not determined ahead of time. And you actually get a playing card. You blindly draw a playing card. Then that determines the order in which you pick your draft position. So if you draw the ace, you can choose to pick first, or you can choose to pick third or sixth or at the end of the round. It's interesting. In recent years, with my playing card draw and then the choice, people tend to fall in line. They want to pick as high as possible, but there seems to be some reluctance to pick number one because of how long it takes for you to pick second and then how long it takes for you to pick fourth. So I understand that, but it's interesting to me in recent years how people seem to fall in line once you get – once someone says they want the third pick, then someone wants the fourth, then the fifth, then the sixth, and they sort of go on from there. There are people that don't mind picking number one, and there certainly are people – I know one in my leagues – who don't mind picking dead last in the first round, so they get that wraparound, two selections in a row for the entire draft. And that person has actually done very well in my leagues with that philosophy. But yeah, Taylor won. If I end up with the first pick in either of my drafts, yeah, I'll take Jonathan Taylor number one. I don't have an argument to make against him being a very productive RB1. I think there have been changes potentially for the better for the Colts offense. I don't think the upgrade, and it is an upgrade, it's not a huge upgrade, but Matt Ryan's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Matt Ryan is better than Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan will turn the ball over less than Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan still has a good year left. He does. I don't know about 2023. I don't care. And the Colts seem to be going a year at a time as we speak anyway. Remember, that whole Andrew Luck thing kind of threw everything off in Indianapolis. And you know, they're just sort of figuring it out as they go along. Frank Reich always has his team ready to play. They are a tough matchup. I don't know that they're a Super Bowl team, but they're always a tough out in the playoffs. And Jonathan Taylor seems very willing and physically capable of handling a big workload. I don't see any reason why the workload would drop off significantly. I mean, there were even times last year where some of you could play Nyheim Hines and get double-digit points out of him in a particular week, and it wasn't necessarily at the expense of Jonathan Taylor. So, yeah, Jonathan Taylor last year was overall 2 in terms of fantasy production in my leagues, behind only Josh Allen, 27 points. Behind Josh Allen. And then it was a 74-point drop-off to the next back, which was Austin Eckler. So, yeah, I think this is enough time that we spend on Jonathan Taylor. In minimum 80% of fantasy drafts, Jonathan Taylor will go number one. And you just hope, if you take Taylor number one, that Jonathan Taylor stays healthy for you the entire season, because one of the things that's been happening in fantasy football in recent years, which has led me to, it's been part of the reason I elevate pass catchers higher and take them in the early rounds. The pass catchers tend to stay healthier than those running backs do. How many of you have been victimized by using a first-round pick on Barkley, McCaffrey, Elliott, who played the majority of last year hurt, still produced at an RB6 level based on my scoring settings at 196 points, but basically played injured since week four. Kamara has been injured. King Henry got injured last year. It happens. It's why running back careers are so short relative to the careers of wide receivers or quarterbacks. This is all connected. It's also why there are more running backs available on waivers as the season goes on, because for everyone that gets hurt, it opens up those opportunities for somebody else. In some cases, there are some offensive systems where next man up works, and you can just go to, I mean, last year on championship week, I started a backup running back for the Chargers simply because of their offensive system, and I got double-digit points out of it because Eckler was not available to play in whatever the week 17 game was for the Chargers, and I went to next man up, and sure enough, that running back gave me double-digit points. You can do more juggling at the running back position because a higher percentage of starting running backs get hurt relative to starting wide receivers or starting quarterbacks getting hurt. Eckler stayed healthy for the majority of last year and produced 250 points. That was the third highest among non-quarterbacks in my scoring settings last year. I hope Austin Eckler can stay as healthy this year as he did last year. He's very talented. I don't think this is a Hall of Fame player. He's obviously going high in fantasy drafts this year. I don't know that I personally will invest in Eckler. I mean, running through in my head here, all right, let's move to the second pick. Now, based on last year's numbers, he's the second highest producing running back from last year. I would not take Eckler at two. I would not take Eckler at three. I would not take him at four or five. I think unless he falls to the back end of the first round, acknowledging, you know, and I love Justin Herbert, but I'm worried that Eckler can have as injury-free a 2022 as he did in 2021. And just the next man up theory with the Chargers seems to lend itself to maybe, you know, the system a bit. And, you know, if Eckler has some sort of a minor problem, would they put him on a bit of a touch count? Would they hold him out for a series or a half or the rest of the game, or sit him a game rather than play him just to err on the side of caution because they're confident in what the offense can do without him? That's where I am on Eckler, acknowledging the point production and the health from last year, but at the same time, it's more about the Chargers offense than it is about Eckler to me. If we're sitting here a year from now and we're still talking about Eckler as a top five producing running back, I will acknowledge that and I will feel differently. Joe Mixon makes me feel different. Mixon was RB3 in my settings last year, just 4 points behind Eckler. Mixon was really consistent last year. He's got a longer tenure in the NFL than Eckler, but I don't think we're to the point here where we start to worry about the wear and tear on Joe Mixon. Let's face it, Joe Burrow is so good. You know, I think Mixon is getting that, gets the benefit of the fact that most opposing defenses are more worried about Joe Burrow beating them deep to Jamar Chase on one play, that they'd rather Joe Burrow hand off or check down to Joe Mixon, because that one play is less likely to beat them in a game or be a scoring play. You know, the Bengals lost the Super Bowl for a number of reasons. One of which was they didn't use Joe Mixon on their last drive at all. You know, there was that play call where the Bengals, Zach Taylor admitted he thought the Rams would be too concerned about something else, and he tried another play, but he didn't try it with Joe Mixon. And Mixon was just on the sideline waiting to get his opportunity. The Bengals had plenty of time. They didn't use him. And I think that chip will be on Mixon's shoulder. And I don't expect Zach Taylor to make that mistake again. So I like Mixon. He's someone I would be interested in owning this year. And I respect his role in an offense with a very talented young quarterback and two solid wide receivers, which keeps the defensive focus off of Joe Mixon, and Mixon can be an every down back. There doesn't seem to be a lot of limits on the use of Mixon, and the Bengals are a productive offense. Then we get to Najee Harris, and I am very biased against rookies. I want to see how they do in the NFL before I make fantasy investments in them. Harris was someone that I thought highly of last year, but I couldn't pull the trigger on selecting Harris because of my bias against rookies. And Harris produced simply because the Steelers, every time they line up, are very likely to give Harris the ball. They have new quarterbacks this year. They have new wide receivers this year. I don't expect a significant percentage drop-off in the amount of touches that Harris gets. Will it be less? Probably. But I'd love to have him. I value touches. Every time your fantasy player touches the ball is a chance for them to help you win a game. And it's hard to make too many more cases for running backs or wide receivers that are going to touch the ball more than Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. Even with new quarterbacks, even with new wide receivers, we know the Steelers and how they operate. And it's been a while since the Steelers have been in a Super Bowl, but they win more games than they lose. And they drafted Harris to fill a role. He did nothing wrong in his first year. It stands to reason he's only going to be better in his second year, and I think there's a lot of value there. We get to five based on, this is my big board from the end of last year. These are not my projections for this year. I'm just talking this out with you. We get to five, and it gets interesting, because here is where I think you can go either way on how you feel about these particular running backs. Now, in this position, I'll just say this, that putting myself in a draft position, I've already told you, if I'm picking first, sure, I'm picking Jonathan Taylor. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. I do a lot of things differently, but I tell you why. I'm not taking Josh Allen number one. I'm not taking a pass catcher number one. Yeah, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor number one. Now, if we get to number five, and Derrick Henry is there, I'm probably going to take him. Derrick Henry and I have had a wonderful relationship for his professional career. If anyone has been my man crush for the months of September through the holidays, it's been Derrick Henry. And even with the foot injury that ended his fantasy season, remember, they used him in the playoff game. That was the first time that Derrick Henry was not available to me. For all the years I've been taking him, for the years that I was crying out for the Titans to actually use this very talented player who could physically handle a big workload while they were wasting their time with DeMarco Murray and not just giving Derrick Henry the ball. I don't think we've reached that point yet where we can accurately say that Derrick Henry can't handle that workload. The injury itself, I don't think lends itself to a concern for this year. That it falls into the category of how's he going to respond to this? Is he too old to recover from something like this? I think about it, but I'm not going to let it prevent me from putting Derrick Henry right back in a role as my top running back. Tennessee, as far as we know, still plans to put Ryan Tannehill out there. They traded their top wide receiver. They've moved on from Julio Jones, who didn't work out. This is the second year since Arthur Smith left to go to the Atlanta Falcons. Mike Vrabel is still the head coach. Derrick Henry got hurt. You know what? It happens. And I expect he can pick up where he left off. And I expect his workload picks up from where he left off. It wasn't the workload that got him hurt. It was an injury. And I don't think it's an injury that you worry about impacting his play the next year, especially with someone who takes care of themselves as well physically as Derrick Henry does. So, yeah, he was 12th on my board from last year as a result of that injury, but that also should highlight how he missed so much time. Yet, he still finished as the 12th best running back in fantasy football. So in a 12-team league, he still produced RB1 numbers despite limited games. And, you know, he's a Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase type threat. If he can break containment, you know he can take it the distance. And those big runs alone produce enough points to get you that double digits you want from your starters every week. And it's just there. And I still firmly believe he can do that. So I'm not shying away. Why don't we pause it there? I wish you a good weekend. We'll come back next week in episode 21. And we'll start talking about these other running backs below Taylor, Eckler, Mixon, Harris, the top four from last year. And we'll talk about 5 through 11 because Henry finished at 12 as a result of that injury. We'll talk about that group of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 running backs because I can argue for or against all of them. Yeah. And I'm going to let you decide what part of the arguments you like as it relates to 5 through 11 on the running back board from the end of 2021. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. I thank you for listening. I wish you a good weekend, and we'll be back with daily episodes each weekday next week leading up to Labor Day weekend.